Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
As promised on Grant and Danny, let's give away some Caps tickets. We're doing it all week long right here at 4 o'clock. By the way, a little Caps nugget. Dylan Strome was on the practice ice today. He was in a non-contact jersey, so looks like they avoided a major injury for him. He'll be back sooner than later, but not quite imminent that he'll be returning. But that looked like a really scary injury as he went into the boards.
It did.
Was favoring his leg, couldn't put any weight down on one of his skates, but it looks like nothing serious. So that's a big deal. But congrats to caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning two tickets to see the Capitals tomorrow night on Halloween against New York. It's Hockey Halloween presented by Dunkin'. Spooky vibes take over Capital One Arena. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. Toby will be there representing the Grant and Danny radio program. Toby, you better wear a costume. It's spooky night, Halloween night at Capital One Arena. What are you going to dress as?
I'm going to wear my Dylan Strome jersey and try to hop on the first line.
Let's do that. I love that. Helmet, pads, let's go all the way if we're going to do it. It is time for the Beltway Blitz. We're going to cover the teams in town you care the most about. Let's get it going. Gotta start with the A topic, the big news of the day. If you missed our reaction right off the top today, grab the podcast. The Nationals have a new manager, and he's 33 years old, the youngest manager hired in over 50 years. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com, joins us to discuss the hiring. It's not official yet, Mark, but they're putting the pen to paper today, it sounds like. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think it should be official here somewhat soon, guys, and then they'll probably have a press conference, I'm going to guess, sometime next week, although I think they're still working out those details. But I'll be honest, I had never heard of Blake Butera before about 10 o'clock this morning when the news broke. He was not on my radar as somebody to be watching for. But what you have gathered about him, yes, 33 years old, hasn't managed above low A ball in the Rays system and did 2 years of that after 2 years of rookie ball. But spent the last 2 years as their senior director of player development. And this is an organization, as you guys know, that is really well regarded for its player development. The Rays may have other issues, but they have consistently been one of the best in baseball at developing young players into big leaguers. And certainly you can understand why that would match up with Paul Toboni's vision for what he wants to do with the Nationals. Now, the lack of experience and any kind of major league experience, he didn't play in the majors either. He played a couple years in the minor leagues, low levels. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. How does he walk into a room of big league players and immediately command their respect? That's what's going to be on him now to figure out. But it does feel like somebody who aligns well with what Paul Toboni's vision, I think, for the franchise is.
Yeah, to that last point there, Mark, do you think it, I don't want to say necessitates, but might include then the veteran baseball man bench coach? Kind of is almost like his consigliere, someone that's been around that, you know, whose hair's gray. Like, does it almost require that, or can you get away without having that, do you think?
That would be the conventional approach, Danny, right, for sure, would be to bring in somebody who does have some experience and you know, maybe even a relationship with the players. And I'm speculating here. I have no way of knowing this, but like a Matt LeCroy, who's been the AAA manager for a long time and knows all these guys, somebody like that, it would make a lot of sense. But as we're already seeing, Paul Toboni may be doing things a different way than we're used to. And so I don't want to just assume that that's going to be the case. But yeah, I understand it's a very young clubhouse, and so they're going to respond well, you would think, to a young manager. But there's also something to be said for somebody who walks in the room and commands your respect, maybe not because you know him personally, but because he's been there, done that, either as a manager previously or as a player in the big leagues. And that's a tough thing if you don't have that. It doesn't mean you can't be successful, of course. But if you don't have that, then I would think you want to surround yourself with at least a few people on your coaching staff who already, you know, walk into the room with that kind of a level of respect that Blake Butera himself is going to have to earn.
Mark, agree or disagree with this take? This hire signifies to me that this is not a, let's spend a little bit of money and try to be the Reds this year where we sneak into the wild card. I feel like you go get a player development guy, an instructor at the minor league level, you're about to reboot this thing with youth at the big league level for some time.
That was my read on it too, Grant. And I'm glad you mentioned the Reds because I've been thinking about them a lot here the last few weeks. A similar team in some way of good young talent, but hadn't gotten over that hump yet. And they went and hired Terry Francona, a multi-winning World Series manager, and he took them into the playoffs. Now, they got blown up by the Dodgers right away, and that was that. So who knows long-term what they're going to be. There was a line of thinking, and I could have bought the argument that said the Nationals are in a similar position. They have young talent. Let's add to that. Let's bring in somebody with experience who can help elevate these guys to another level and try to win in the immediate future. This doesn't look like that. You know, we'll hear what they all have to say, and there's still a long way to go in the offseason to see what their approach is as far as building the roster. But the initial read of it would seem to be, to me, that this is a guy who's being brought in to help young players get better, and understanding that that's probably more of a long-term process than a short-term process. We'll see. Again, let's hear what they have to say. But so far, the moves of Toboni, the hiring of Butera, would suggest to me that they're thinking more in terms of winning down the road as opposed to winning in 2026.
Do you see this as the manager reading the spreadsheet from the front office about, you know, what pitching matchup, whom against who, and this is the thing we want or don't want, et cetera? Or is this, you know, learn on the job and be able to operate via your gut every now and again? Do you see this as kind of an extension of the front office?
Yeah, I think that's another conclusion that I kind of drew early on here today as this all played out. Again, let's hear what they have to say about it.
Right.
But it sounds to me more like some of the modern front offices and organizations where the GM and his people in the front office are conveying down to the manager's office, here's what we want the lineup to look like. Here's how we think you should handle this, handle that. And the manager's job is not necessarily to take the 26 players that he's given and decide how best to use them, but to implement the plan that the organization has. Now, that can be effective, and it has worked in other places, so I don't want to totally discount that. But it's a big departure from what we've seen here, certainly over the years under Mike Rizzo, who was pretty adamant about, I give you the players, and whoever the manager is, I leave it up to you to decide how you want to manage this team. We'll see. Maybe it won't be that way, but it feels to me like this is more of a collaborative effort and a top-down scenario where the front office is making a lot of the decisions, and the manager's primary job is to implement whatever it is the front office wants to do.
Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com. One last one I want to sneak in here. Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams. Chance that one or both gets traded this offseason, you think?
It's certainly possible, and I think that speaks to the other question about are they thinking more long-term here or short-term? If you believe that this group is good enough to win in the next couple years with additions to it, then of course you want them to be a big part of it. If you think it's further down the road that they're not well-positioned to win yet, then I think you have to consider those kind of moves, probably more so in Gore's case because he's got 2 years left until he can be a free agent. So I think that's something you absolutely would have to consider if that is the overarching plan. And that's why I think what we see here in the next month or two is going to tell us a lot about where they're really going with this.
Mark, thank you, buddy.
All right, thank you, guys.
You got it, dude. Hit that puck sounder, please. Our pal Sam is sober to talk about those Caps. They don't play till tomorrow night. But Sammy, they dropped a couple in a row. What do we make of it?
Yeah, I think you look at the last couple of games. Obviously, Ottawa on Saturday was by no means the way they want to play. It was just, you know, they admitted they left their goalie, Charlie Lindgren, out to dry, and the offense just wasn't clicking. Special teams continued to be a problem. And then you go Tuesday and you see a better process, but there's just an inability to finish on offense. And that's the biggest issue right now is that lack of execution, right? Whether it be at 5-on-5 or on the power play. So, Caps looking to, you know, shuffle a couple things going forward here and, you know, hopefully getting, you know, Strome back in the mix and seeing where it goes. But the offense just needs to start finding its rhythm.
Their last game, they only gave up the one goal on a ricochet off a defenseman's stick. So it was a much more buttoned up, better effort, and on the road against a good team, too. So not worrisome, per se, in terms of a second straight loss for me. But, yeah, that first one was ugly. You mentioned Strome. Give us an injury update on him and on Rasmus Sandin and some timelines here.
Yeah, good news. They both skated this morning with the group, you know, non-contact jerseys, but then, you know, Strome wore a regular jersey for power play rep. So, you know, whether that means he's coming along sooner rather than later, we need to wait and see. But neither were ruled out for the weekend, which is a good sign. And we could very well see them, you know, one or two, both of them, you know, tomorrow or Saturday. It's just a matter of time. You know, Carberry kind of said, you know, anything's possible with the process to getting back. But good sign on that front, especially because it was kind of, it was scary seeing Strome go down like that, but definitely a much better prognosis and much better recovery.
Sam, you mentioned their offensive kind of lack of execution, sort of that you know, one last pass or one last shot. Go into that a little bit for us. Is it a structural thing? Is it just a rhythm thing right now? Is it, you know, something in between? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's what makes hockey one of the greatest sports in the world, right? I mean, it's such a cool game, you know. It's a game of bounces. It's a game of, you know, sometimes things are going your way, sometimes things aren't going your way. And you look, and, you know, when you look at the power play, you look at 5-on-5, is it, you know, a structural thing? Maybe a little bit, you know. Sometimes neutral zone entries can be a little bit of a chore. You're looking, and there are certain players who, you know, like Alex Ovechkin, they're just not finding the back of the net right now, even though they're getting in good situations. And sometimes that's just the way the sport goes, right? So I think it's just also, you know, beginning of the season, getting back in the swing, getting accustomed to things as you go, that chemistry kind of comes back. And every player is just trying to find their place right now. So a lot plays into it. Not a reason to press the panic button, because it's not like the chances aren't there. If the chances weren't there, then yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a time to be talking about something different. But, you know, chances are there. Now it's just about executing.
Sammy, thank you. We'll send people to the Hockey News to check you out. We appreciate you.
Appreciate that. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Be well. There's Sammy Silber on the Capitals. Let's talk football. And to do that, good friend of the program and longtime beat reporter covering the Redskins, the football team, and even some Commanders, Chris Russell, who we were literally just saw outside the window.
Just right outside.
Mm-hmm. He was just standing there looking up at us.
Yeah.
Hit a boombox over his shoulder playing music. What the heck was
after
going
getting
on?
Some bunch on.
Yeah, what was did yeah. you come here for lunch? Is that
no, I haven't been to bunch on since before you became a dad.
Well, that's a weird line of demarcation.
It's a long time.
How do you know that?
Because you weren't even married to Allison at that point.
Really?
When you, me, and Dan Lang, the great Dan Lang, had lunch at a bunch on, which is in our office building, and I pass by all the time. I just never go. As you know, I'm not a big going out to eat kind of guy.
No, you're not.
I just wander around the neighborhood.
Me neither.
Any neighborhood.
Just looking for an audience.
Right. You know, I'm not a big restaurant guy myself.
Right. Deviled eggs are not your favorite, right?
Never been a deviled eggs guy.
No.
Certainly not with any bacon right on the top there.
Exactly.
Hey, Reena, anyway. Terry McLaurin's out again.
Surprise! So I got mad at Linnell last night as I was at the gym. I don't know if you guys heard. He was saying that he was re-injured again because he was brought back too early. I disagree with that. I don't think he was brought back too early. I think he got hurt the same way, essentially, he got hurt in the Raiders game. And I fear now that he's probably going to be lost for minimum of 2 weeks, maybe three, maybe four. And I wanted to read you guys this quote. I saved this just for you. I didn't talk about this when I was wandering aimlessly about in the Navy Yard. But Dan Quinn had a very, very, very confusing answer yesterday when asked about adding a veteran receiver.
Okay.
He said, no, we're comfortable where we're at. He was asked about Terry. He said, this is not something that's going to be a thing that's going to knock him out for a long time. We hope. Then he doubled down and said about the wide receiver room, we're very comfortable with where we're at. I would just say this, and you know I was a big Dan Quinn guy. This is the most concerning answer of the Dan Quinn regime.
Well, I didn't hear anything overly interesting there. What
do you mean?
Education.
We're very comfortable with where we're at? How could you be comfortable with where this wide receiver room is at?
Well, what
it sucks. It's not good. They butchered it.
Now, Yes. But what if he goes, yeah, we're not real comfortable with what's going on right here. We don't really believe in the guys in the room. That's the alternative, isn't it?
Well, but logic would tell you, you can't be comfortable because there's no Terry. He's not on IR.
Right.
Noah Brown, who's injured, hopping off the trainer's table after getting injured the first time. And they're cutting and bringing back and signing and not signing and then releasing Robbie Chose and Anderson every other day.
Totally. Yeah.
What are we doing?
We look at the room and we go, he's rah-rah, everything's perfect guy.
No, but you can't. I mean, yes, you can be. But this is what I'm saying. Dan Quinn's usually a somewhat transparent guy. If they're honestly comfortable with the wide receiver group right now, and how they've managed or mismanaged the roster. And I was the only idiot screaming about Noah Lamide Zaccheaus. Everyone told me I was full of crap, full of this, full of baloney, all that. I was the only one screaming about Lamide Zaccheaus being gone, being a big factor. And I turned out to be right because they brought in Michael Gallup and KJ Osborne, who couldn't even figure out how to wear a jock strap, never mind how to play football for this team down the stretch last year.
Lamide Zaccheaus wouldn't have changed much.
It would have been better.
But as a receiver room, they can't get open down the field.
Right. But
it's not really what he does.
Well, no, they can't get open down the field. They can't complete passes. It's short and intermediate stuff too.
Right, but my point,
no matter
is,
who the quarterback
Luke
has
McCaffrey
been.
McCaffrey was good the other night. Three catches, had a nice grab on the sideline. Jalen Lane's been fine. You think he's got one drop?
I don't think he's been fine.
Well, what do you mean? He's got a drop. What has he done wrong?
I think he's got more than one drop. There's been plenty of. I mean, he had the fade touchdown drop in the front corner of the end zone. Against the Raiders.
I think of.
I don't judge a guy just by drops. I mean,
no, sure, but I'm just saying, like, you act like if they had Lamide Zaccheaus, their offense would be a lot better.
Well, if they had Lamide Zaccheaus, it would be better. I don't know if it would be a lot better, but it would be better.
Do you think Lamide Zaccheaus was somewhat a nice fit for them last year?
Sure.
No, I think he was. Having him around at the expense of a third and fourth round pick the last 2 years, who need to develop and need time on the field.
I think you could have had those two. If you understood what Noah Brown was and is and isn't, if you understood that KJ Osborne could not get in the lineup more than once in like 9 games, including the playoffs last year from the time he signed, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
But my point is, today, Cliff Kingsbury was asked about speed by Ben Stanton.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone that can push the ball down the field vertically. They don't have anyone that allows you to do that.
Without
and
Terry.
So Ben asked something to the effect of, do you just not have anyone who can do it? Is that something Jalen Lane could do?
Yeah.
And Cliff said, well, Terry's great at it, and Noah Brown's great at it. His point was, I don't have those guys.
Jalen Lane's not great at it, even though he's got the speed.
Correct. But my point is that he's acknowledging, yeah, we don't have anyone. He's like, we're trying to find someone who can do it. So that's not Zaccheaus. If I could reshape this receiver room, it would be to bring in an Aldrick Robinson.
Fine. Maybe it was Diami, Zaccheaus, and Jamison Crowder.
Yeah,
the combination.
A good example, too.
But my point, I didn't hear that from Cliff. My point is, for Dan Quinn to say what he said yesterday, that they have no concerns about the receiver room, either he's just saying that to say it, or if they really mean it, this organization is in trouble. Because there's no way you can look at the situation all the way back to last year and say, we haven't butchered this 17 ways to Sunday.
So I don't want to ruffle Reenie's feathers here, okay? Uh-oh. He is a rooster after all.
That's right.
That's not my intention.
Right.
I asked this question. I think it's a fair question to ask. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying anyone should be in, no seat should be warming.
Oh, boy.
But last year was an amazing season, right?
Mm-hmm.
It buys you a year like this with no questions asked. Mm-hmm. If you're Peters, if you're Quinn, you got to the NFC Championship game in year one. How long does that get out of jail free card before we start asking some tough questions?
Well, I think some of us are starting to ask the tough questions now.
Because I'm giving them the full season.
Right. I think they're totally
2-5 next year to start the year.
I think that's when the rumblings would start. There's no doubt. And it should be, and I think you just mentioned it, it shouldn't be just Dan Quinn. It should be, unfortunately, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. And I truly believe they're the right people to resurrect this thing, along with Josh Harris and along with everyone else. But we don't know if Kingsbury's going to be here. We don't know if they're going to fire Joe Witt. We don't know what personnel is going to be here. We don't know about injuries. Here's the bottom line. It's not just injuries as to why this team has been majorly disappointing this year. Everyone of significance has, well, I want to say everyone. Most of significance has taken a step backward, not a step forward this year.
I think that's fair, right? I mean, just when it charmed life last year, it's not this year. So, yeah, you could, there's nobody that can get to go, I've really improved. Right. I've done a dramatically better job.
Right.
This weekend against Seattle, recipe. How do you do it? Because they're good.
They have a tremendous kick-ass front defensive line. I have no idea how they're going to be able to run the football. So the only thing I can come up with is getting the ball out of Jaden in 2 seconds, 2.25 seconds, a bunch of slants, a bunch of shallow crosses, a bunch of natural running back screens to try and loosen them up that way. Hope you break a tackle. Hope you make somebody miss. And then maybe you take a deep shot or two, because I think you can. You know, Reek Willen is a kid who's regressed, not progressed, since an outstanding rookie year. Witherspoon is really good when he's healthy. Their safeties are kind of questionable, but I think if you soften them up a little bit and at least get some momentum going in the short, crisp passing game, because I don't think you're going to be able to run, natural run, running backs run, quarterback run, and I don't want Jaden Daniels running against this Seattle team. Like, that's to me the only way you can get this done. And, you know, on defense, they're going to have to, I think you have to try and blitz Sam Darnold and try and rattle his cage. That's the only way I think you can get after this Seattle team.
They're the number one run defensive team in the league, yeah. Seattle is.
Not good.
And that front that you talked about is the best I've seen this year. When you go back and watch them, Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, Jaron Reed, DeMarcus Lawrence, that starting four, and then Mike Morris off the bench, Derek Hall, like, they are loaded. They got second-round picks as part of the rotation. They've been awesome.
And the natural run game for the last three games, not because, I count this stuff. It's not because of a lack of trying. They have not been good in the natural run game at all, period. And whether that's Bill and whether that's Cliff, whether that's the offensive line, I think it's all part and parcel with each other. They have not been good in the last three games since Chicago.
Three games in a row, no doubt. Mike McDonald's got something cooking on defense over there. All right, the over-under for the Commanders is now 7.5 wins. Which side of that are we going to go on here? We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thank you, John Carlson. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Darris, Ryan, Toby, helping out behind the scenes on the production today. Berries for Luga on the Nats and the Commanders. It's 6 o'clock in 90 minutes. Nats have a new manager. He's 33 years old. Youngest skipper hired in over 50 years in Major League Baseball. Also, we'll get to the bottom of Washington's three-game losing streak with Barry and what he thinks is on the line as they continue the gauntlet here in these next two games as underdogs at home to the Seahawks and the Detroit Lions. Danny, what are the kids being for Halloween tomorrow? Do we have everything picked out?
Yeah, so I'm not sure what my oldest is doing. He now is of the age, kind of preteen, where he's like, any discussion with me other than what he'd like to eat is, he's irritated about it, like just does not want to talk to me about anything pretty much.
Is he at the age where he doesn't trick or treat?
He is not going to trick or treat. He's not going to.
Wow, first year of that?
So I, without going too deep into it, I think there's actually like a couple different things that he was going to do with friends. He didn't want to disappoint anybody, so he's like kind of made this mature decision to, he's going to hang out with me, or either me or his mom, not sure who, and hand out candy at the house. So he'll see friends when they come by for that, and maybe that'll be kind of the plan. But
okay.
I'm not sure what he's going to be, so that's a way too long of an involved answer. My seven-year-old has decided he is zombie Superman. I don't know where he got that. But full makeup, Superman outfit, looks awesome. Muscles are popping, right? He fills out the costume well. Not quite Henry Cavill, but as good as a seven-year-old can. And there's a zombie situation going on with Superman. So I don't know if that's comic accurate or just something he made up. And our nine-month-old is just going to, whatever we can keep on his head. Probably some, like, Shrek ears.
I was going to say, you got to do, like, the baby pumpkin thing. That's what
yeah.
we always do.
Yeah, whatever, you know, again, everything's a fight, so it's least resistance there.
So the six-year-old is going to be Elphaba from Wicked. She's obsessed with the movie Wicked. We're already going to see the second one in November as soon as it comes out. Tickets are purchased, all that.
Too Wicked.
Wicked 2, Wicked yeah, I don't 2, know what yeah. it's called. But she knows because she's locked in on the trailer. She's there, memorized yeah. the trailer. We watch it every night before bed. But she'll be Elphaba. Then my four-year-old, the boy, is going to be a tiger. He's got a pretty cool tiger costume.
Okay.
And when he like bends down, it looks like the face of a tiger on his head. So it's pretty cool. He can run around on all fours.
You find a Lars Eller jersey that size?
Lars Eller. It's going to be a number 20 right there on his back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the two-year-old is being. There was a funny option of two things where it's like one's a cute little animal and the other's like a monster or something.
Okay.
And she's debating between the two. I don't know where we landed on that. I tried to call my wife and asked her in the break.
And she answered and said?
And she did not answer.
What?
As
this is your wife didn't answer the phone?
Funny, right?
Yep.
And then the baby is going to do the hand-me-down pumpkin thing that we do for every baby. We have lots of babies. Every Halloween or so, there's another baby.
Is this your fourth pumpkin baby?
Oh, lock.
Because everyone's done the pumpkin for
1,000%.
A year and a half.
Yeah. Now, there might have been a Halloween where we got to not use the pumpkin. Maybe one of the last five.
I don't think so.
But yeah, this is a pumpkin baby that we're going to be having held, basically.
Because they're six for
and
six.
And you know my move. Either a hot dog or a hamburger. I'm going to reach my hand into the box where the costumes are. And whichever one I pull down is the one I wear. So 2 years in a row, it's been a hot dog.
Oh, that's nice.
2 years before that, it was a hamburger. One of the two of them will be what I wear.
What do you prefer?
Honestly,
costume, not food.
I prefer the hamburger.
Is it
it's
more
less
comfortable?
Hot because there's nothing on my head. Basically, it's like the
yeah.
You know, it's shoulders down.
Uh-huh.
Hot dog. I'm peeking out of a hole with a gigantic tip.
Oh yeah.
Of the hot dog still above me.
Just the
will.
Tip yes. is above. Yeah, just
above
to see
my head.
How
but,
it feels.
And it's a big costume.
I of course, am a Jedi. Obi-Wan Kenobi's robes, and I will be doing that. My son said to me today, you're always that. I said, yes. Yes, I am.
That's true.
I do it every time.
I was going to say, do the kids not Joan at this point about just the recycling of the costumes? I feel like at least your oldest,
right.
I would think, would be like, Dad, come on.
So
like,
my kids are young enough that they don't Joan about anything. I'm just the best, and I'm smart, and I'm awesome. Now, Danny's kids are old enough.
Plenty old enough, and there course, is right. Joaning, yes.
I bet. Here's how my kids handled it. My daughter and my son were like, Dad, you're going to be a burger again, right? And I was like, burger or a hot dog? They're like, oh, I just love those costumes. It's like, we're still really, really young.
Dad, you're so stupid. You're cringe. That's just different. That's just different phases.
A couple of years from now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Halloween, man, trick or treating. I will say, as much as I love walking my kids around, it's the cutest thing in the world. I wouldn't give it up for anything. I do look forward to a day, Danny, where I can just stand at my door and hand out candy. Because I get a lot of joy out of seeing what everybody's wearing and also just the passing out of the candy and kind of enjoying the night from that perspective.
I'm not trading it. I want my kids walking around, having a blast, right, seeing their excitement and their joy, and we'll go as long as they can go. If they want to hop to a new neighborhood, they want to keep filling up their buckets, let's go. But there's going to be a time eventually where I just get to sit back, wait for the doorbell to go.
Sit in the rocking chair. It's like, what are you, buddy? Yeah.
Are you a stay in your house and wait for the door guy, or do you guys go outside?
I want to go out. So it depends on what my wife wants to do. Obviously, she works way harder than me and does more than I do, and that's obvious.
I'm going to set up a table in the driveway guy.
If she wants to stay home, she can. If she wants me to do that, I'll do that. My joy comes from, and so most of the time we talk about this, with kids, I do not do, I know no one will believe me, but I don't do the vicarious living through my kids for sports thing that a lot of people do. And again, probably nobody believes me. That's fine. I do the vicarious living through my kids for the Halloween thing. Next house. That's what it was about. When I was a kid, who could come back with the most candy? The next house, the next house, the next house. That's where my joy comes from.
Yeah.
So it's gone now for my oldest. He's not really that into it, not into me hanging out with him or anything like that. For my 7-year-old, he's got that zeal that I had where I need to go to the next house. I need to strategize about the next neighborhood. What's the most efficient way that we can get to the most number of houses? Don't waste time in that house. If you got to ring the doorbell, you don't have time. That guy might give you an applesauce. Don't do that crap. Let's go, let's go, let's go. He's got that. That's where I get excited.
Yeah, that was always the best thing is you're going to stay out as long as you can.
Yep.
I would, toward the end of my Halloween time, I would go pillowcase.
Yeah.
Because it's like you wash a pillowcase, you dry it, it's now a massive bag, and until that thing was half full, we ain't coming home. The one thing I have passed on to my kids now, while they get tired quick, they're very young, I'm trying to talk them into like, let's go to another place, let's go to another neighborhood, and they're just not into that. We come back and we immediately pour our big piles of candy out on the floor. We call it loot.
Loot.
And we say, let's look at our loot. What did we get? And so that's our big thing. Like when me and my brothers would do that, we would pour our candy out right there on the floor,
the candy
check out
exchange,
the loot, see
the
if
greatest.
Anyone needs to trade anything.
Yeah.
Today, my son woke me up butterly, as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Dad. I said, yeah. He says, Halloween's tomorrow. I said, yes, it is, bud. And he goes, I'm going to give you all my Reese's cups. Come on. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Can you imagine?
My daughter also apparently hates peanut butter. Now, my son does not, but he said he's going to give me his Reese's cup. She always gives me the Reese's cups. So they've both agreed, according to the conversation this morning, that they will be giving me all of their Reese's cups tomorrow. Can you believe that?
What a tithe as the ruler of the house.
Incredible. I didn't even offer. I didn't ask. I didn't make a deal. I swung nothing. There was no, yeah, like, you know, taking a little medallion in front of them and going back and forth to hypnotize them.
If you wish to stay on my lands, a required penance of Reese's peanut butter cups at Halloween.
They just came to me. My daughter doesn't like peanut butter.
Amazing.
My son told me he doesn't like Reese's cups, which is not true.
Which is insane.
But
by the way, what the kids like is also crazy to me.
I'm not going to convince him he likes them.
Right.
We can do that after Halloween.
Yeah, but again, non-co-parative vision, but my oldest has come home so many years, like, ugh, gross, chocolate. Yeah, totally it is. I'll get rid of it for you.
I will say, Co-Pair Paulson, this is not my favorite day.
It's a tough one.
This one's tough.
This is your appetizer,
yeah,
figuratively speaking, before the toughest time of the year. These are our days.
Oh,
Halloween,
man.
Thanksgiving.
Those holidays are coming.
Yep. Here we go.
There's, right, food involved.
Yes, there is.
But we got to harvest some nuts in October.
Yeah, we do.
Early November, mid-November, pre-Halloween.
We got a lot of work
to
do.
Excuse me, pre-Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This is where we stack those wins against the Titans,
the Jets,
Saints, and the Jets, because the Bills are on that schedule eventually.
Gauntlet's coming. Everyone's healthy. Urgh.
Are we over or under 7.5 projected wins for the Commanders? That is the question. We will hit that next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Our football discussions come your way via Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Danny, 7.5 wins is the altered win total now for the Commanders as they sit at 3-5 getting ready for Seattle. We want to know if people would go above or below 7.5 wins. And you can call in to participate in the discussion at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us, Instagram us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. So let's go through it here. Three wins right now. Washington has still 9 games left. So to get above 7.5, we're looking for 5 wins of the final 9. They'd be over 500. Seattle this week, they're underdogs. Likely to lose. Again, let's use our three drawers.
Right.
Probably going to win, toss up, or probably going to lose. I'm putting this in this probably going to lose category.
Me too.
Detroit next week. Dan Campbell's been throwing darts at a board of Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn since the playoffs last year. I'm putting that in the probably going to lose category.
That's in the should lose, probably lose, however you want to phrase it.
That also feels like a game, by the way. If Detroit's up significantly, they ain't calling off the dogs, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Every trick play in the book's getting utilized.
All right, the Miami Dolphins, that is a Madrid-Spain game at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 3 weeks out. I'm putting that in the, you know, after last week, I might have to move it into the toss-up category, the way they looked against Atlanta, but I'm still going to put that in the probably going to win file.
You would think, I mean, Miami at that point will maybe on a different coach, you know, with all the turmoil, maybe the trade deadline affects them, et cetera.
So I've got them 4-7. You have the same record or
same.
No?
Yep.
Okay. Bye week. Now you're you're home against Denver, Sunday Night Football, wearing the same jerseys they'll wear this week, the 91 throwback Redskins unis.
They'll be underdogs.
Be a fun atmosphere. You'll be an underdog. I'm going to say, even though Denver's defense is incredible, off of a bye, I'm going to give them that game. I think that'll surprise some people, but I'm going to say they beat Denver, which is not an easy task. That's a great defense, a good team. They just destroyed the Cowboys. But you know, it's not going to be chalk. You're going to win a game you don't expect to. You're going to lose a game you don't expect to.
Right. We've seen that already.
I'm going to give them Denver and say now that they are 5-7.
There's going to be one that they win. I don't know that it's that one. I think Denver will be, you know, neck and neck fighting for the, you know, AFC West crown, you know, best record overall in the AFC type thing. I think Denver's good enough to come and win that game. So I'm going to chalk it up as an L.
I'll give them the Vikings game as well, give them back to back wins there, which gets them to 6 wins for the season.
Vikings win, so I've got them at 5-8.
Giants on the road. Now, this is where I'm kind of zigging after I zagged against Denver. This will be a win for a lot of people.
I'm going to have this as a loss at the Meadowlands. They don't play well there most of the time. Jackson Dart is a different dude than what you got in week one with Russell Wilson. They've been a much bigger pain in the butt to play since then. I could see him running around, making plays, giving this defense fits. I'll say they actually lose to the Giants and split the season series.
I think that's a win, but it's one of those where you kind of are gritting. You're making that face like, oh, God, that's not great. Through your teeth. I think it's gross, but they win it.
So I've still got them at six wins, and now you've also got them at six wins.
Six and eight.
All right, now three games left. Eagles twice and the Cowboys. I think of those three, I have them winning one game. So I've got them at 7-10 under 7.5 wins.
Here is the variable. Does Philadelphia need it? I'm imagining they will for home field. It depends on what Detroit's doing, what Green Bay's doing, what Tampa's doing, et cetera, down the stretch. So if Philadelphia needs the game, they will beat you. I think they'll beat you both times. If they don't need that last game and they call off the dogs and they play Nate Sudfeld and everybody else third string Thoreau, won't really matter. Maybe you win that one and that gets you over that total. But that's going to be the one for me.
By the way, if it gets you over the total, it means you're counting a win against the Cowboys on Christmas.
That's his... Yes,
I'm not about that?
No, not at all. I'm not sure about anything. I mean, I don't feel great about them at all.
But I'm saying, what's your logic on assigning a win there as win number seven? Because I just watched Dallas personnel nightmare destroy them. Now, maybe if the season's over for the Cowboys,
yeah, I think that end of season Dallas
traveling on Christmas Day is a little different.
Yeah, I think they'll have melted a little bit. There's more controversy coming. The Pickens meltdown, I think, is inevitable. They'll lose a couple games in a row. You know, this will be the normal chaos surrounding the stupid Cowboys. So I think because it's a division game, you end up splitting it. The Giants one is the one I'm kind of going, they'll win it. But, you know, we've got enough history there that says that's not a guarantee.
What's amazing is these next 2 weeks are probably the hardest games left, which is not to say that they don't have other ones that they won't win. Denver's a really tough game. That's at home, at least. They're coming west to east, and you're off of a bye. But the Eagles two times.
Yeah, and Philly's pushed you around pretty good.
NFC Championship beatdown last time you played them. They're wearing the pants in the division. That's not an easy game. But I'll take divisional matchups against divisional rivals like Dallas, like Philly, over Seattle, top three on offense, top three on defense, and Detroit. Now, the Seahawks game, if the Seahawks were not coming off of a bye, would be a very different conversation for me, too. Because west to east, if this was a 1 o'clock Sunday game and they had just played on Sunday, I'd feel way, way, way differently about this. But it's not. It's a night game, yep. So you lose any advantage you get west to east with the early start time for Seattle. That goes away, and they're off of a bye, so they're super rested, and you're the least rested you could possibly be. It's actually the second time this year we've seen this now. This is what I was talking about with the Dallas game, basically, where you got a team off of a bye playing you off of Monday Night Football. Like, that is as bad as it gets in terms of rest discrepancy. But you're going under 7.5. I didn't think I was going to. Maybe you're going over, it sounds like.
No, it's right there. Because what I'm talking about is them finishing either 4-5 or 5-4.
That's why they make the odds the way they do.
And that's why the number's so good. I'll probably say 4-5 because even to do that, they've got to be better than they've been over these last eight games.
So we both have them at 7 wins.
Yeah.
So I want to take the temperature of the people on this and see where you guys are at. See where your confidence in this team is at this point. The projected win total right now started the year up over 9. It's fallen to 7.5. With half a season to go, are you going above or below that? Over under 7.5 wins this season for Washington. 800-636-1067. We'll hammer your thoughts next on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.